Let's pray. Please, congregation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share from your word this morning. I pray that you would just still my heart, that you would just be with all the technical stuff, technical glitches, that you would just sort it out, Lord. And I ask that you would make the hearts and the minds of the congregation here this morning, open them up, Lord, to hear this, to hear a message from you this morning. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So if you're visiting us in this church for the first time this morning, we're a church that likes to preach. We like to exposit scripture. So we've had a long sermon series through 1st and 2nd Peter. So we thought we'd just take a break and do a couple of topical sermons. And we're looking at what true community looks like, because we are still a young church community, and we wanted to look at what true community means to us as a church. Next week, John will be preaching also on true community. And then on the first Sunday of November, Ewan will be here. And then the next Sunday, Glenn will be preaching, starting off our new series through Nehemiah. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. So this morning, I wanted to talk about what the ultimate purpose of a Christian is, and the ultimate purpose of Christian community. But I'm going to do it a little bit differently, so just bear with me. So there is a genre of fiction called apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic fiction. Anyone ever heard of those? Right? And I always found it interesting what people imagine the end times would be like. But of course, we all know what will happen in the end, because Scripture tells us, right? It just takes some study, and end-time Bible prophecy is not always easy to understand. And that is why there's a whole field in theology called eschatology. Fiction writers, on the other hand, have come up with all sorts of entertaining end-time stories, and audiences seem to love those kind of stories these days. Stories about zombies, The Walking Dead, aliens, H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds, disease, Stephen King's The Stand, robots, The Terminator. I mean, you've heard them all. You've seen them. There's a lot of post-apocalyptic and apocalyptic stories that are told these days. Now, before you think that I'm gone completely crazy and how this is anything to do with us as Christians, I merely want to use it as an illustration. I'd like us just to pose a hypothetical situation as we consider questions around our ultimate purpose as Christians and Christian community. What if the world as you knew it completely changed? Imagine for a moment there's been an apocalyptic event and you're living in a post-apocalyptic world. I seem to love to say apocalyptic this morning. And you're one of just a few Christians left on the earth. There's been a big war and a nuclear fallout. Billions of lives were lost. You were injured and you wake up alone in a deserted hospital. Don't stop me if you've heard this one. You're not actually sure how long you were out. You're a little disoriented, but otherwise in good mental and physical condition. What do you think your first thought would be? Do you think you'd think about God immediately as you opened your eyes? Well, it depends on whether you wake up with amnesia or not. If you woke up with no previous recollection of God and your previous life, do you think you'd have any understanding of God? I guess what we're doing is kind of utilizing a practical systematic theology. And when you study systematic theology, you learn about God's general revelation and God's special revelation. Millard Erickson, in his book Christian Theology, summarizes general and special revelation like this. General revelation is God's communication of himself to all persons at all times and in all places. Special revelation involves God's particular communications and manifestations of himself to particular persons at particular times, communications and manifestations that are available now only by consultation of certain sacred writings. Now, if you look at general and special revelation, you know, the questions that people always come up with is, what about people that are, you know, on deserted island somewhere who've never heard of God, they've never heard of Jesus? How will they know? about God. And they will know, because God will reveal himself to them, right? The Apostle Paul writes about God's general revelation in Romans 1, verse 18 to 20. He says, and you'll know this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his visible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." Now, it would take a whole sermon on its own to talk about how God reveals himself to us. So let's just assume you wake up, you're in your right mind, as you are now. You wake up, and what is the first thing that you think you'll think? I guess you think, you know, where are the other people? I've got to find more people, right? Where's civilization? So you go searching, but you don't find anyone, and for the first 2 weeks, you're all alone. You wander the deserted streets alone. You do everything alone with no companionship. You find someone's bomb shelter. There's some non-perishable items, food there. There's bottles of water, so you sit. It would get pretty lonely, right? But you've got God, and that's enough. You're content. What more do you need? What do you think your purpose is in such a situation? The first point of the Westminster Catechism asks this question: what is the chief end of man? I'm sure you've heard this. What is the chief end of man? And it states that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's beautiful, right? So we glorify God. Psalm 86, verse 9. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Romans 11, 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. You were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Enjoy him forever. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second question of the Westminster Catechism is, what rule has God given us to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? God's word, right? It's all in here. How we must glorify him and how we must live is all in here, right? So in your wandering, you realize, as often happens in these post-apocalyptic stories, that because there are so much less people, certain everyday things like television, internet, radio have ceased. Praise the Lord. Right? Because television is like, it's the new idol. I mean, the amount of time people spend watching television. So all of those things, because there's so much less people, we don't have the Willems out there, sound guys, everything's fallen apart, there's nothing. Praise the Lord, there's silence. You can actually take in the world. And because you're living in this world, and because there was a war and, you know, there were bad guys fighting, they've, as so often happens in war, you know, they've eradicated literature as well. So there are no books around anymore, right? There are absolutely no books around, and there are no Bibles. And you're a Christian, and this is super important to you, right? So what do you do? And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite stories. One of these stories is Denzel Washington's Book of Eli. Denzel Washington's one of my favorite actors. And what happens in the story, just quickly to share with you. So, you know, it's also this post-apocalyptic world, and he's got the last surviving Bible with him. And he has to take it to the last great outpost, because there's war and chaos all happening all over, and he has to take it to the last outpost before someone can catch him and find this Bible and destroy it. And eventually, you know, he goes through all sorts of dramatic things, and just as he was about to reach this last outpost of righteousness, you know, someone takes the Bible and they destroy it. And he goes into this place, and they like, "We heard you've got the last Bible, where is it?" And he goes, "No, someone took it and they destroyed it." And they go, "Oh no, all of that wisdom and all of that knowledge is gone." And he goes, "No, get a pen and paper." And he says, "Take this down. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2. And he recites it from beginning to end. And that's how they record this Bible that has been lost, and they record it again. Now that's just a bit of an illustration to encourage everybody this morning again to memorize scripture. Read your Bible, memorize scripture, because, you know, if something happens, we are the only people, and the books are destroyed, Bibles are destroyed, we are the only people who are able to take that forward by what we remember from the Bible. So learn scripture. So there are no books around, and you cannot find a Bible anywhere, and the Word of God is vitally important to you. So you try and remember all of the verses that you know so that you can write them down and keep them, because there are no Bibles. What verses will you remember? I'm asking you. John 3:16. Thank you, Jax. That's a good one. So you write that down. You continue to memorize it. Let me not forget this, because this is important. Anyone else? What other scriptures would you remember? Psalm 23. Yes, please. The Lord is my shepherd. Anyone else? Matthew 6, which is? Our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. What about Hebrews 4:12? Because the Word of God is so important to us. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 2 Timothy 3:16, All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. John 3:16, we've mentioned. John 1:1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? Learn Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Get it in here and get it in here. So you're alone for a week or two, doing the only thing you know to do in a difficult situation. You spend quiet time with God, often. You pray without ceasing. You recite scripture you remember. You sing hymns and worship songs you remember. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I particularly asked Mom to do that song this morning, because that, I never met my paternal grandmother, and that was one of her favorite songs. So whenever I hear that, I think about her, even though I never met her. So you sing hymns and worship songs you remember. But in the back of your mind, you're also wondering if you'll ever find another human being. Then one day, you meet someone. Yay! Finally, you have companionship. You guys get to know each other. You share your lonesome days stories when you were both wandering around. And this person shares with you how they almost gave up hope. And you learn that this person does not believe in Jesus. What do? Christians? You share Christ with them. You take them through God's plan of salvation. Genesis 1:1, the creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 3:16 we've mentioned. John 14:6 we've mentioned. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Right? You share this with that person, because you, as a Christian, this is what we do. We share the gospel with people. You don't know if you're going to meet another person for the next 3 months. And here's this person who doesn't believe in Jesus. What do? You share the gospel with them. And then they ask, but what do I do? What do I do once I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the longer you spend with this person, the more you realize that you can't agree about anything, right? You were all so happy to see each other, but then soon you realize you're both sinful people, you both have your own issues, and you start to dislike this person very much, right? And then you're trying to remember all of those verses from God's Word about how to relate to others. Matthew 22:37-39, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that's the first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And never has professing the fruits of the Spirit, possessing the fruits of the Spirit been so important to you as when you have to relate to another sinful person like this. Right? When you look at the fruits of the Spirit, it's all about how you relate to people. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, help me from not smacking this person because they are disagreeing with me. And then the two of you meet another person. The dynamic changes again because now you have to relate to someone else. You know, when it's just you and one other person, it's easy. But then when someone else comes into the equation, it changes again. Then you meet more people and more people. And soon you've got a group of, say, 45 people of different ages, different sexes, young families with little children, seniors whose children have left, single ladies, a group like us. Slowly you have a small group like this. And you've formed, as often happens in these stories, a small colony. You found a piece of land where you can all live, and daily a group goes out to look for supplies, water and food, borrowing again from things like The Walking Dead. Slowly those in the group who didn't believe in Jesus come to faith. But there are also those who don't want to, and yet you still have to live with them. What do? You continue to witness to them through your actions and how you speak to them. And hopefully, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict them and they will come to know the Lord. You start meeting in small groups, right? But because knowledge has been outlawed, there's no more books, there's no literature, there's nothing, there's nobody there with a theological degree. So what do? Right? Somebody joins your colony and they've got a Bible. Somehow they found a Bible hidden somewhere strange, and here's a Bible, but there's no one with a theological degree. So what do? You get together and you study Scripture. You try and unpack it. Right? No one has taken charge yet. There hasn't been a leader in the group yet. Everyone's just doing their own thing. Yes, eventually, like we're human beings, we want somebody we can look up to and follow. Some of us are more followers than leaders, right? But at this moment, there's no one led like that, so what do? We are just there, working it out amongst ourselves. We go back to the church in Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Imagine if the world, as you know it, changed tomorrow. Possessions have not become important anymore. What you have, you share with everybody else. Oh Lord, that we can go back to times like that, where we don't hoard things for ourselves, we don't just keep material things for ourselves, but we are constantly, as the church of God, sharing with one another as they have a need, selling our possessions. Ideal world, eh? We're just there. And people are using their spiritual gifts for the upliftment of the body. Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We are hoping that we are equipping you for the work of ministry. But also as a community, as individuals in this community, we need to step up. Step out of our comfort zones. There's a lot to be done in this church. And it can't just be done by two people, three people, four people. We need everybody's help. Right? We need you to exercise your spiritual gifts. We need you to serve the church in whichever way you can. What is the ultimate purpose of such a group of people? The church is called to praise and glorify God, to establish Jesus Christ's kingdom and to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. So what do we do as a community like this when we're still waiting for our senior elder, our paid elder as we call it? What do? We pray, we read the Bible, we grow in knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, we looked at it not too long ago, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We become doers of the word, not just hearers, James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We love. We disciple and we be discipled. Think about yourself at the moment. Are you being discipled? If not, find someone. And it might be more difficult for someone older like you, Uncle John, to find someone to disciple you, but you can still be discipled by someone. Are you being discipled and are you discipling? Do you have people that you are discipling? We should all be discipled and disciple. 2 Timothy 2:2. Peter writes to Timothy, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we pray, we read the Bible, we memorize scripture, we grow in the knowledge of God, we doers and hearers of the word, we love. Jesus said we must love each other. The world will know we are Christians by the love we have for one another. We share the gospel, Matthew 28:19. Whew, that's buying, eh? So why am I saying this to you? Yes, we're still a small church. We're growing. God is working. The core committee is working. We will get our paid elder. But in the meantime, what can we do? Go back to basics. Go back to basics again. Think about the basics. Exercise them in your lives. Go back to basics. Maybe we should live like the end of the world as we know it is just around the corner. Which it is. Right? Christ can come at any time. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Don't think I'll do it tomorrow. Do it today. Get stuck into scripture today. Pray without ceasing today. Be ready. Because the world as we know it could just change like this. Are you ready? Is Christ going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? As we wait, as we're in this period of waiting, take this opportunity to examine yourself. Get back to basics. Amen? Okay. Everybody cool? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are, Lord, for what you do for us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. Because you love us, we are able to love, we should love each other. Because of your forgiveness, we should forgive and be forgiving. We should forgive because you have forgiven us of serious, serious sins, Lord. And yet we hold grudges and are bitter towards other people. Help us to forgive as you forgive. Thank you for your word. Help us, Father, give us the strength to be with you in communion every day, to set some time aside, to spend some time with you, reading your word, praying, hearing what you have to say to us through your word. Thank you for our church. Help us to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, so one man, one woman sharpens another. Help us to bear each other's burdens. Help us to not be afraid to share in this community, which we are hoping will be a true community, a true Christian community. Help us to rely on the gospel. May the gospel show us how we still need to become more like Christ. May we become less of ourselves, of our sinful nature, Lord Jesus, and become more like you. Help us in this regard, we pray, with humble hearts. We yearn to be with you and to be like you and to be in your presence. So we ask that you will continue to bless our church. Go with us this week as we go back into the mission field, Lord, and help us to live out the gospel in how we act and in what we say and in what we think. And may your name be glorified. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus our Savior. Amen.